It's 5 o'clock Wednesday. Welcome to Joyful Echo with Jean and Kathleen on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, where we gather together as sisters in friendship to echo God's love. Now here are your hosts, Jean and Kathleen.
Hello, ladies. This is Jean.
Hi, this is Kathleen. We are in the new year.
We are in the new year, and we took a couple weeks off, and we missed y'all.
Yes, we really did, and we missed each other. Not that we didn't talk to each other during the break, obviously, but it's not the same. This is a different aspect of our friendship, and so when it's not there, I can feel it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. We had to catch up on the way down. We did a lot of praying for everybody on the way down, our children, and got caught up here and there. And it's amazing. 2 or 3 weeks goes by. A lot happens.
A lot happens in 2 weeks. A lot.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes.
So for today's Echo, and actually before we start talking about today's Echo, Jean, I do want to mention, because as you all are hearing this on Wednesday, January 12th of 2022, today is the 50th anniversary of the founding of the Diocese of Charlotte.
Go Charlotte. Yes. Go Charlotte.
So this whole year, there are events that the diocese is planning. There are all these wonderful events, but today is the actual day. So I think around the time that the show airs, they're having a mass.
Yes, they are.
At St. Anne's, at St.
Mark's,
all the different parishes of the diocese to commemorate the founding of our diocese.
And I think we have a birthday cake at St. Mark's going on after Mass.
Oh, really?
I think adoration and Mass is happening at St.
Yes, a special holy hour.
Yes.
At all the parishes. So when our show airs, it's the holy hour. So
get on over to a church. Thank Jesus.
We'll be here when you get back from adoration. You can listen to us that way.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. So, Jean, today for our Echo, I wanted to share a particular scripture passage that came to me during our break when I was at Mass, and this is one of those occasions. And, you know, I tell you, it happens to me, and I'm amazed every single time, which is ridiculous. I should know by now that this happens. I hear a scripture passage or read a scripture passage, something that I know very well. And then some new insight comes to me, a new meditation. And I just think, oh my goodness, how did I not think of that? How has that truth evaded me all of these years of hearing this story?
And you've mentioned that before. In our last time we met, we talked about the scripture that says Jesus makes all things new. Mm-hmm. Well, he's making that scripture verse new for you. It's all new.
Yes, he is.
Like a first time hearing it,
right? That's
right.
Okay, so you all, I think, are going to be familiar with this one, too. This is the story of our Lord as a boy, about 12 years old, when he goes to Jerusalem with our Blessed Lady and with Saint Joseph, and then they go back. They think he's in the caravan with all their family and friends, and they realize he's not. And they have to go back to Jerusalem, and they can't find him, right? Okay, we all know this.
Yes.
We know this story. So,
and we've done this, too, in our lives. So, no shocking.
No.
What happened to Mary? Why wouldn't she know? I mean, I've forgotten my children's soccer camp before. I'm not kidding. I have.
I know you're not.
So, let's not be hard on Mary with this.
For sure. But there was something, Jean, as I was hearing this read at Mass. And I'm going to read it, just a little bit of the story to you now before we talk about what that insight was. You're going to find this story only in the Gospel of St. Luke. And remember, St. Luke is the one, before he read wrote his gospel, he did spend time with Our Lady, right? Significant time with Our Lady. He was not one of the 12.
Right.
So the fact
wasn't he a physician too?
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
So the fact that he is the one who records this story, I think, is
beautiful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. So if you're in the Gospel of St. Luke, you'll be in the second chapter, starting in verse 41, and it says, "Each year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. but not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. Now, there are so many things to meditate on in that short passage. But the thing that came to me on this particular day when I was hearing that was parents whose children seem to be away from the faith, especially adult children. They're lost. Mom can't find them. They have anxiety. She's looking. I'm not suggesting in any way that those young adult children who may, in fact, be walking away from the faith in that moment are doing what Jesus was doing. That would be a silly analogy. But what I am saying is I could imagine in my heart Our Lady and Saint Joseph going among the caravan. "Have you seen my son? Have you seen our son? Do you know where our son is?" And I was thinking to myself in that moment, what would my heart say to them if I were there? Of course, because it's Our Lady, because it's Saint Joseph, I would know that they hadn't done anything wrong, that they weren't neglectful, that those are the things I think in my mind. But then I thought, were there people in that caravan or people in Jerusalem they encountered when they're trying to explain, "Our son is lost, we can't find him," who were unkind, who were unsympathetic, were judgmental, who maybe said, "Well, goodness, Mary, I haven't seen him, but I will absolutely let him know, you know, if I do see him," and were very nice. But then when Mary and Joseph went away, that person thought or said to a neighbor, "I don't understand what is wrong with them. Why they can't even keep up with the one child they have? What is it?" You know, whatever, right. Judgy things. And it was very convicting, Jean. I thought to myself, have I ever been that person? Have I encountered someone, and not that they were looking for their adult son or daughter, physically looking for them, but knowing that their daughter or son had walked away from the faith, have I been that unkind, unhelpful, unsympathetic, unprayerful person they encountered? Or did my heart go out to them? Did I express genuine concern? Did I offer to do what I could, which is oftentimes it might be prayer and nothing physical that I can do? The other thing that I thought about was our Lord coming with that remedy. Now, he was literally saying to his parents, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know I would be in my father's house?" It was a reminder to me that when we are in that situation, when someone we love, whether it's an adult child or not a child, a sibling, a friend, has walked away from the Lord, where and how can we find them? In the Father's house. In the Father's house. Now, it doesn't mean that they are, they're fine. They're in the church. You don't have to worry about them. But if you're looking, ladies, for that person who's lost, who's walked away from the Lord, where will you find them? By drawing closer to the Lord yourself.
That's great.
Isn't that amazing? Amazing.
Yes. And this is confirming something that happened with me yesterday. And the next show, I'm going to explain more about it. But it goes along with the thought I was in the presence of something quite spectacular, and that will be my echo in the next show. So I'm not going to give it away right now.
No spoilers.
So you got to come back, ladies, to hear. But all these thoughts were going through my mind, like, oh my gosh, I've just been made aware of some incredible, beautiful information. How can I make sure my children know this? How can I? The panic, you know.
The anxiety.
The anxiety. Mary and Joseph, right. Exactly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I just quietly heard in my spirit, in my inner self, Jean, just come to me. Mm-hmm. It's my job to make sure that they encounter me. It's not your job.
That's right. He is the good shepherd.
He is the good shepherd. Gene doesn't have that ability to convert the heart.
Nope.
I am not the savior.
Nope.
And there was peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just come to me. Just come to me. Everything takes time. It took time with you.
Right.
Your mother used to talk about me all the time. And you would roll your eyes, which I did. She drove me crazy about Jesus. Now I drive my children crazy about Jesus. But you're right. The Lord, he's got a time when he chases more than we do.
Yes.
He loves them. They are his more than they are ours.
That's right. That's right. And they are with the Father not because they are choosing to be with the Lord.
That's
in
great
that
clarity.
Moment,
exactly.
Right? So you it's not like you're crazy and you think they've walked away from the church, but they haven't. They may in fact have walked away from their faith life at that moment. They are with the Father because the Father is always with them, because his heart is always burning.
That's right.
For those children. So if you want to see the prodigal son come back, where do you have to be? Standing next to the Father.
Mm-hmm. Close proximity.
That's right. If you are close to the Father, you will get to see when the prodigal son returns home and embraces the Father. Not because you did anything to bring him home, but because you were near the Father. You were next to the Father.
Let me throw this out at you right now.
Yeah, bring it on.
What if your children were just as perfect as could be, and we're all going to church, and the family, you just looked out and said, yes, Lord, my prayers have worked. Look at us all.
Mm-hmm.
How far away would you be from the Father?
Mm.
Is the fact that your child and your perception far from the Father keeping you close to the Father? Is it serving a double purpose here more than for your own sanctification?
Right, right.
For your own sanctification.
Yes, because oftentimes we do, don't we, ladies? We let it make us anxious and it worries us as if somehow we had lost our confidence that the Lord will pursue this child's heart, this our child, but not a child You know, we need to be stepping in faith, walking as a person of trust and hope.
And confidence.
Yes. Not oblivious to what's going on. Not that I don't see that my daughter or my son is not going to Mass or is away from the sacraments, but walking in the confidence that the Lord is pursuing this child.
That's right.
And if I am drawing closer to the Lord, I will be doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
And that's right. And that's keeping your peace.
Absolutely.
Keeping your peace. That's our job, is to keep, maintain, search for, and keep our peace, because it's been given to us by our Lord. It's been given to us by our Lord. We're about to go into a break.
Yes.
But
yes,
why
yes.
don't we talk more about, when we come back, of how we can keep our peace, keeping our eyes on Jesus, because the enemy would so much want us to be in the caravan, searching, panicking.
Right, right. And it's not that Our Lady did something wrong by looking in the caravan. So we will talk about that when we get back. Thank you, ladies. Join us after the break.
AM AM 1270 Catholic Radio Charlotte on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network. On air, online, and on the new Carolina Catholic Radio mobile app. Get involved and connect. Learn, love, and live your faith. CarolinaCatholicRadio.org.
Hello, this is Carolyn Klicka, relationship coach with Abounding Joy, a new feature on Carolina Catholic Radio. Our marriage and other relationships are so important to our peace and happiness. Are you struggling with conflicts that just continue to escalate? Are you dealing with anger, fear, or just feel like you need to find new solutions? I'll share some godly principles on how you can resolve relationship and inner conflicts, create agreements, and move into the peace and joy that God wants for you. Discover greater freedom and healing through insights about the truth of who we are and what God is asking of us. Join me daily for 2 minutes of insight and encouragement for your heart and your relationships. This is Carolyn Klicka with Abounding Joy. Visit me at AboundingJoyMinistry.com. Listen in and discover why today I choose joy.
Hello, I'm Elsie Spady, the host of Healed and Restored. My show is dedicated to making a difference in people's lives by showing them how the healing of the body, mind, and spirit is possible and available to all God's broken children. I invite you to tune in every Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m. Each week, I invite a different guest, and together we discuss all the different facets of healing. Thank you for tuning in and for supporting the work at Carolina Catholic Radio. God bless.
Hello, ladies. Welcome back to the show. You are listening to Joyful Echo with Kathleen and me, Jean.
Yes.
We are talking about Mary and Joseph losing Jesus on their way from visiting the temple. And Kathleen so beautifully was bringing up the last scripture verses in, I don't know what chapter it was in
chapter
Luke.
Chapter 2.
Mm-hmm. My favorite at the end is that he was obedient and grew in wisdom. Mm-hmm. That was the last verse. So he went home with Joseph and Mary and grew in wisdom. He grew in wisdom.
I mean, there are so many things that we could talk about. There's so many things to meditate on in that short passage. But we were really focusing on that experience of feeling that your child is lost.
Yes.
You know, and oftentimes it happens when we're talking about young adult children, but not always. Sometimes adolescents, younger adolescents as well. And how we can look to the example of Joseph and Mary, how we can look to our Lord for the answer. What do we do when our hearts are troubled with that kind of a burden? Because that is a real cross. That is a heavy cross.
It is a heavy cross. And I speak with so many women, and that seems to be a common cross now that many women are carrying. But what I'm seeing is women getting lost in the cross. There's a difference between carrying the cross and getting lost and not knowing which way to walk with it. And that is not a promise from our Lord.
Right, right. And that's where, when we were talking before about the place that we need to be, from the example there of Jesus himself, the place we need to be when we know that our children are far from the Lord. We need to be close to the Lord.
Close to the Lord. What does that look like in this new year for us, right?
Yes.
And we need, this is a good reflection. When, I just finished, girls, my level 4 training for praying as a prayer minister with Christian Healing Ministries, and it's taken me a couple years to achieve this goal, and I had to persevere.
And you did.
I did. And there were some tough topics in level 4. Post-traumatic stress syndrome, advanced deliverance, all kinds of things that you really didn't want to listen to. But one of the things that that really struck me, and I think this can help you all as well, when I was taking the class on post-PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, we all have a capacity for joy that the Holy Spirit has given us. And I'm going to bring it back to about this worry, this incessant worry of our children. When you have a cross that we're carrying, We are to protect our joy that God has given us because it's a gift from the Holy Spirit. It comes from God. It's gift. It's just not, oh, I'm happy today. No, it's gift of joy. So you can literally carry a cross with joy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. That's how Our Lady does it.
She's Our Lady of Sorrows,
but she also
has
perfect joy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I want to speak into that joy, that capacity, that joy capacity. The only way you can protect the joy that you have, and that is your job to protect your peace and your joy. That's what the Lord is asking you to do, is staying close to the author, to the giver of joy. Mm-hmm. And it's the Lord. So we have to look at our own life. And if you are carrying that cross, and the vision I have right now is when Jesus carried the cross, he carried it with a purpose. Mm-hmm. It was up the Mount Calvary. It was to finish and complete the goal that God had asked him to. If you're carrying your cross and you're just walking in circles and it's not going anywhere, it's because you are not walking with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that is a temptation for all of us. And yes, we do that from time to time. So the most important thing you could do is an active prayer life, staying close to God the Father, because it is through that time that you're going to hear the Lord speak to your heart and say, listen, I've got your child. I understand, but I know when the best time for your child to receive the divine revelation that I'm going to give him. Mm-hmm. You said something at the break, Kathleen. Do you remember what that was? Oh, I hate that I'm doing this to you because that can be real difficult.
Yeah, I'm not good at that.
No, I know. But you said something so beautiful about it's not our divine revelation to get
the pursuit
into our child.
The pursuit. That sometimes we want to go after our child. We want to be in pursuit. And we want to be able to offer, here is the truth of who the Lord is. And then when they are ready to receive from us, but it's not from us. It's when they are ready to receive from the Lord.
That's right.
Right? It's his invitation ultimately, mm-hmm, that they were made to accept. It's not our invitation on his behalf.
That's right.
So it's important, ladies, that when you have a child who is walking away from the Lord, it seems so counterintuitive, but so many things with our faith are like this. Your pursuit is really to remain close to the Lord.
That's right.
Not to go chase. Don't chase her. Don't chase him. Draw close to the Lord, closer and closer, and guard your peace and guard your joy.
That's right. Because guess what? When the Lord does want you to speak to your child, mm-hmm, you want it to be effective.
And it will come from a place of peace
and joy.
Instead of coming from I've been looking for you and you're doing the wrong thing,
right,
and here's why.
And you know what?
No.
If you are peaceful and joyful, and it is a promise from our Lord because it's divinity that's making you peaceful and joyful, so it's a promise. It's in Scripture. It's all, mm-hmm, over Scripture. When they get to a place where they are not peaceful and joyful, you will be their physical example, mm-hmm, and they're going to want what you have.
Yes, not in an I told you so kind of manner. It won't feel like that at all. It will legitimately feel like coming close to you,
mm-hmm,
will be coming close to the, mm-hmm, Lord, because you will be so close, mm-hmm, to the Lord.
That's right.
That being in your presence is being in the presence of the Lord.
And all his goodness is just flowing out of you, and that's the promise.
Yes.
And that's what we have to protect. And that's what I learned in this school. We have to protect that capacity. And the great visual was a bridge. When a truck is going over a bridge, it gives it a weight capacity. And if that bridge is not strong enough, that truck is going to fall right through the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with us. We protect our joy and our peace that the Lord has given us. So when the big cross comes, it's not going to crush us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If anything, it'll be an example to another and say, hey, I want what they've got. They can carry that cross and I'm watching them. It's not destroying them.
No. And Jean, now is the time, I think, for us to come together in,
mm-hmm,
prayer. So any of you all who are listening who are carrying that cross,
that's right,
where you can put your heart next to the heart of Our Lady, who didn't know where was her son? Have I lost him? and that's what you're feeling, I invite you to come and pray with us right now. And if that is not your situation, maybe you are rejoicing because there was a time mm-hmm. when your child was in that position, and now you've seen her or him return to the Lord. I invite you to pray with us too.
That's right.
From that standpoint of reinforcing the hope and supporting your sisters who might be struggling right now. So, Jean, if you will get us kind of started out here in
sure.
in our prayer. We will sanctify our time now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in great thanksgiving for what you're placing on our heart today. We love you, and we just would ask now for all of our sisters that are carrying crosses but feel like they're running in a circle with their cross. They don't see much fruit happening, Lord. They're stumbling. I ask for a powerful anointing to come on them now, to be able just to surrender a little bit of that cross to you, Lord Jesus. Just as much as they can, just a little bit. To give it back to you as the rightful owner of that cross. The one who's going to take care of that cross. The one who is going to smooth the rough edges in that cross. If you can give them the grace. My sisters, if you are listening right now and can give a little bit of that cross, even if it's an eighth of an inch, to our Lord in surrender, he will give you abundance of grace. So the cross that you carry will now be in a direct path for victory, a direct path to reach the goal that he has planned. Because our Lord gave you that cross to increase in you your love capacity, to increase in you your devotion, and to know him more dearly. And sometimes they get out of control, these crosses. So Lord, we just ask for a mighty anointing on these women right now, that you would cover them with your precious blood, that they will know your love, that they will know they can begin again, that they can begin again anew with a fresh new prayer, a time of fulfillment. We praise you for that, Lord. We thank you.
And I'd like to lift up especially any sisters who have sons or daughters who have walked away from the Lord or
yes.
are walking away from the Lord. And these ladies, in pursuit, with all the fervor of a mother's heart, have run after their children. But now they're looking around and they're feeling lost.
Mm-hmm.
I've run so far away from you, Lord, in pursuit of my child, to bring my child back to you, that I've lost my way.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
I am tired. My spirit is weary. I'm starting to be filled with some of those same kinds of doubts that my child had. And in prayer right now, I'd like to surround these women with support, with the support of our guardian angels, to give to them the invitation, come home. Come home to the Father. He will find your son, your daughter.
Yes, Lord.
He will pursue. He is already living in the moment that you only hope for when
Thank
your
you,
child
Lord.
Will be back in his arms. He can already live in that moment. So come home. Draw close to the Lord. Be refreshed. Have your wounds bound up. Have that balm of Gilead placed on them so that you can be strengthened and you can live in the joy and the hope
yes,
of what
Lord.
He promised.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We ask with your mighty grace, Lord, that you will seal in this blessing today, this anointing on all of us, and that you will close any doorways where the enemy is trying to get in with his lies, and you would break down any structures of thinking that would cause us harm, and renew us in our thoughts and our minds. Renew our prayer time, Lord. Show every one of us here listening today a new word in Scripture that will come alive for us so we can wait patiently for that day when the cross is victorious. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Oh.
Thank you.
Yes.
I feel good. I feel refreshed.
I'm so glad. And I know that next week's show, we're going to be talking about one of the wonderful, powerful ways that we have of drawing close to the Lord. And
that's
especially
right.
When there's something on our heart, like a child who's walked away from the faith. So please tune in next week for that. Jean, I promised that we would have some food talk going on before we close out today. And I have brought with us this bread I haven't made this loaf. I've used this recipe to make this bread, I don't know, four times at least over the break. You can probably hear me cutting
good.
It now.
Oh, yeah.
And I brought some butter because I'm Irish, so I like some butter with my bread.
Oh,
this recipe,
Kathleen,
is so easy to make. You can make it in a day, and I'm all about those artisan breads that rise overnight and all that. That's wonderful, but this is an easy, you can decide to make it that day and have some lovely bread for your family. I will absolutely post this recipe because it's not hard. It doesn't have a lot of specialty ingredients. You don't have to use a bread machine. You don't have to use you don't even have to use a loaf pan.
And it's beautiful. I'm amazed. I like the fact that you didn't use a loaf pan.
Nope.
It is. It looks so good. And this is going to go great with my talk.
Yes,
Yes, God is so good. The Holy Spirit knew we needed some refreshment and some bread.
Mm-hmm. So it's crusty on the outside, but then it is very soft on the inside.
So cheers, ladies.
Yes.
We're eating bread. Breaking bread.
Breaking bread together. We will see you all next Wednesday at 5 o'clock for the next episode of Joyful Echo.
And we're going to tell you how you can use this bread effectively.
Yes.
In the spiritual realm.
Yes, you can.
Bye, ladies. Love you.